Lately I've been talking in my sleep, wondering what this all might mean. Sometimes I wish I could fly, fly away tonight. Lately screams like my dreams, wonder where this pain will lead. How do I find the way out?
Nobody knows but me. On an island, from me. A ship wrecked us at sea, where nobody goes, no search party. Nobody knows but me. On an island far away from me. A ship wrecked us at sea, where nobody goes, no search party. Nobody knows but me. Kia ora and welcome to another exciting episode of Kick Arts. Can you hear me through your headphones?
Yeah.
Because I cannot hear myself. Don't worry, I just fixed it. I think it's because when I came in, the headphones weren't on. Anyway, we sorted it out. Let's start that again. Kia ora and welcome to another exciting episode of Kick Arts, Auckland's comprehensive art show brought to you every Sunday night at Planet FM 104.6 or live streamed at planetaudio.org.nz. I think that if anybody asked me to just recite anything at any time in my life, that's what I would recite. I'm just not. It's close to my heart. Sorry, Gretel, you've got a mic now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now I can hear myself. I thought I was just, like, quiet.
It's good, eh?
Yeah, it's real nice. It's, like, empowering.
Yeah. Mm. Have you got any good mic stories from your time as a musician?
Stories. Yeah. A lot of the time it just, like, turns off or, like, feeds back hard if you make the slightest sound.
I learned the other day that if you point your microphone at the speaker or something, yeah. I pointed the microphone at the wrong place anyway. It was very loud and embarrassing and in front of a lot of kids that do know how to use a microphone. It wasn't very good. Welcome to the studio, Gretel. Welcome back to the studio.
Oh, thanks.
You were here last year, and I think you had just finished Rock Quest.
Yeah.
Where you came second.
Was it? Yeah.
And in the meantime, you have released Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah.
Which did so well. It's a great tune. Mm-hmm. It's on Spotify.
Yeah, it is.
And you've just released another track.
Yeah, a new one. It's called Gone.
Gone. Do you want to tell us a bit about it?
I wrote it, like, before I wrote Catch Me If You Can.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did. Hmm. But I had already started, recording it by myself. I'd already started, like, mixing it and stuff before Rock Quest. So I decided to record Catch Me If You Can with Rock Quest, and they did that a lot faster than I did mine. And then Catch Me If You Can came out, and it was, like, produced so well, and Gone was not. And then so I just decided to do the entire thing again with my friend Ryan. Yeah.
Clever man.
Mm.
Ryan.
Very clever man.
Very clever.
Very, very good.
And so the song was released on Friday.
Yeah.
And you've got a video coming out. Mm. Do you have a date for that?
Date's still
being decided.
It's still being decided, but I'd like it out by, like, the 22nd of November.
So, during the month?
Mm.
The
month of November.
Yeah. Cool. Very exciting. Mm. And we will play the song in a little bit. I've been cranking it hard. It's a great song.
Thank you so much. I've been a big fan
of that song since I heard you playing it last year, and it's, like, a favourite part of your sets when I am lucky enough to see you play locally. So I'm stoked that you've released it. It's very exciting.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's very exciting, yeah.
Also, welcome to the studio, Olivia.
Thank you.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
You have a show starting this week.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
I'm very excited. This is actually the last stop of our national tour, so...
Amazing.
It's been a big build-up, and I'm really excited.
Where else have you been?
All over. We just got back from the South Island on Thursday. We were in, like, Nelson, Golden Bay. We got to perform at the Muscle Inn, which was awesome.
Nice.
Christchurch and Dunedin. We'd already done Hamilton, Palmy and Wellington, so...
Ah, very
yeah,
cool.
Auckland's the final stop.
And could you tell us a bit about the show?
I can. So How We Survive is a two-woman feminist spoken word poetry show done by myself and Carrie Rudzinski, who's an awesome American spoken word poet who moved to New Zealand about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she and I first wrote a version of this show in 2016 because... That was when we first met and became friends, and we just realized that we had a lot of similar interests in terms of what we write about and our values and our desire to participate in political poetry that talked a lot about feminism and women's experiences. We had a great time doing the show then. We did sort of a mini tour then,
mm-hmm.
and I moved overseas 2 years ago, but we knew we wanted to tour the show again, so... at the start of this year, we just committed to doing it. So we've written this entire new version of the show while she's been in Auckland and I've been in London. Wow.
How has the show changed between the first time that you performed it and now?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of things. The first is that the absolute majority of the poems that we do in the show are new.
Okay.
And that's both individual pieces and we do sort of like multi-voice duets that we write and perform together.
Mm-hmm.
And those are about a lot of new topics that we felt were really important, and we talked a lot about what topics we thought needed to be discussed in the show. So like, there's a new piece about women's healthcare, a new piece that really looks to celebrate female friendships, and things like that. And then the second way is that we really wanted to find ways to make the show more theatrical and to move it into theatres, because we'd always done it in sort of like bars.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been a real learning process for us in terms of working out what that means in terms of adding like lighting and sound and set and all of that. So
have you done all of that yourselves?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, in the theatres we obviously have worked with amazing tech people to help us out with the sounds, with the sound and the lighting, but we sort of came up with what we wanted ahead of time a little bit and figured out how we'd do the set and all of those things. So yeah, it's pretty much a two-woman show most of the time.
That's amazing. It's amazing as well how often that that approach to doing things comes up in this room on the show. Like, it very much is. I had that conversation earlier with someone actually. I was doing a whole lot of Facebook ads and I having to edit videos down to do that.
Yeah.
And the guy who's in a band that I work with, he was like, oh, what tools do you use? How did you learn to do this? And I was like, I just do it on like iMovie, and I just taught myself how to do it, because you just have to in the arts community.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and even Gretel, you're just saying right now that it's like you and your friend Ryan just produce your whole song together.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's just necessary. It just takes time.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. This is very exciting. A whole poetry like show.
Yeah.
I've been and seen poetry like at the Thirsty Dog, you know, they do like
Poetry Live,
Yeah, that's really cool, and like a kind of had little tasters here and there, but what, for those of us, myself included, who don't know what to expect from like a whole poetry show, what should we expect?
I think expect to have a lot of feelings.
I like feelings.
We cover a lot of different things in the show, but also like, we break the fourth wall, we chat with the audience, we chat to each other on stage. There's actually quite a lot of like building a relationship with the audience in that way, so in that way it's probably like a bit different from going to see a theatre show as you might in Bats or Basement. And it also means that there's sort of a breakup between each of the poems. But then aside from that, as I said, we do solo pieces, we do multi-voice pieces, and we've sort of tried to weave a narrative through the show of talking about a lot of the really hard experiences that women have in society, but also moving through to talking about things that we think are like ultimately empowering and uplifting, and like I said, celebrating love and friendship, and the fact that ultimately women survive in really incredible ways. But yeah, so I mean, it's, yeah, spoken word poetry I think is hard to describe if you haven't been to see it. It is, there are so many different styles of it, in the same way that going to see, you know, music is really different every time. But yeah, it's political and it's interactive, and we encourage our audiences to participate in the show. So, yeah, I know that's really scary for New Zealand audiences. I've just freaked everyone out.
Do you think that in order to come along to the show and to enjoy the show, you have to, you know, be quite a strong feminist, or be political, be interested in political things, or...?
No, I think there's something in the show for everyone. I think, like, we don't shy away from that stuff, so you'd have to know that you were going to hear it, and that's why we're pretty like comfortable putting feminist in the title and all of the marketing for the show, so that people aren't walking in not knowing what is going to happen. But I genuinely think there's something in it for everyone. Like, we have a whole poem about how much we love Harry Potter. So if you just love something, you love something that's not feminism, it's probably still in the show.
How does that fit into the show? A whole poem on Harry Potter.
Well, it's largely about how much we think Hermione Granger is like a badass female character in Harry Potter.
She is.
Yeah.
She is.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
This is very exciting. How long is the show?
About 80 minutes.
80 minutes?
I know.
Of poems.
I know. Doesn't it sound so scary?
It does sound scary.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
I'm going to tell you that
challenging.
The best thing that any audience member has ever said to me, and someone has said it in every place we've been, is just like, oh, that didn't feel like we were here for 80 or 90 minutes.
Yeah. But I just, because when you think about a poem, well, for me, if I think about a poem, I think about it being quite short.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, like, how do you fit so many poems? Or are they long poems? Like, the Odyssey, that's a long poem.
Yeah, they're not as long as the Odyssey. They're roughly, like, 3 to 4 minutes each.
Okay.
And we just chat in between, and also we do a lot of poems.
Yeah.
It's like doing a set, I guess.
Yeah, like going to see a band play.
Yeah.
8 minutes is totally great.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. That sounds like a huge challenge, though, to be able to write all of that content.
Yeah.
And especially being in different parts of the world as well.
Yeah.
How did that work? How did you do that?
About 700 hours on Skype.
You were writing the poems actually together?
Like, so we sort of, it's sort of mixed. We chat about what we want to write about.
Okay.
We usually go away and do some free writing by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then over Google Docs and Skype, we start to like piece together the poem from bits that we've both written.
Okay.
And then we can sort of talk through where the poem's going, whether we need to write more, whether we can do the writing on call, or whether we need to go away and write more separately and then come back. Yeah.
That sounds... like really, like if you're in a relationship where it's really working, really satisfying.
Yeah, and it definitely is. And I'm so lucky. Like, Carrie has so much experience. She's been a professional poet for like 14 years. She's written with heaps of people. This is my first time writing duet poetry in this way, and she's really guided me through a lot of it. But we've both sort of acknowledged that we're really lucky. Like, our relationship just really works.
Mm.
And I don't think any aspect of the show would work if we didn't like each other. But this one in particular, I don't think would have worked if we didn't like click very early on.
So do you find that you have quite similar experiences or perceptions of the topics that you're dealing with in order to be able to write?
I think we often have similar perceptions or views about things, but we often have really different experiences.
Oh, sorry, that was mine. I was like looking at your guys' phones, like, whose phone is talking to us?
Sorry,
my phone just decided to connect it.
Siri doesn't have anything to say on the topic, though.
Does she not?
No, I don't think so.
Could we ask her?
Yeah, we could probably.
What are we asking?
I don't know.
Feminism.
Yeah. What does Siri think about feminism?
Siri, what do you think of feminism?
What are your thoughts?
I am a believer in equality and treating people with respect.
That's epic.
That was really good. Thanks, Sari. Quite diplomatic, though. Shouldn't say she was a feminist.
She's straight to the point.
Yeah.
She's like, here's the dictionary definition for feminist.
That was really good.
That's awesome.
sorry. As you were saying.
We have quite different experiences.
Yeah.
Carrie grew up in America.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up here. Even that just means we have different experiences. We've lived in different parts of the world. Mm-hmm. We've experienced gender in different ways. We've experienced... There are things that one of us has experienced that the other hasn't, so on and so forth. But I think we just have a lot of like time and care with each other in terms of trusting when the other person is sharing their experience. And often the poem will sort of reflect on both of our differing experiences and then sort of come together to make an overall point. Mm-hmm. Or... Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
How has that been for you as your first experience of like co-writing in this way?
Oh, a dream. Like, yeah, no, Carrie's amazing. And even when we did the show in 2016, she lived in Auckland and I lived in Wellington. Yeah. So we've almost always worked on and written separately.
Yeah.
But I thought it would be so, I mean, it's so daunting. Like, I feel like as a musician, if you write lyrics and then you have to sort of like try and bring in a second person, like that would be daunting. I get nervous about
Does anyone my ever give you input on your... I know your mum gives you input on your lyrics because you told me about that. I thought it was hilarious.
Oh yeah, she does. Like if I write something that is like a bit... it's not so much anymore. It was like when I was younger and then I would write something that would be like about a boy. She'd be like, that's a bit too much. Maybe pare it back a little bit. Like, don't make it seem like that could be two different meanings. And I'd be there like, but Mom, it's art. She'd be there like, yeah.
Do you write with Ryan or does he just help you produce what you have written?
So he helps me produce what I've written, but also we're starting to write more songs together.
Cool. How is that?
That's really good. Like he like makes loops of just like really cool like music, like awesome, because he's such a good musician. like amazing, like naturally. And then he just sends it to me, and I'll make like a melody and lyrics over it, and then I'll like take the loop. There was one song we did. We haven't come up with a name for it yet, but it's like at the moment it's like Medicine Organ Beat, just because like it's got an organ in it, and he based it off an artist called Medicine. But yeah, and it's like honestly, it's my favorite song I've ever written, like my favorite one. I haven't ever done it live or anything yet because we're trying to figure out how to do it because it's quite electronica.
Okay,
but oh,
could you do it with a backing track?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking.
Look at me.
Yeah. Sorry. I was thinking. Back, well, because
they call it backseat driver.
You're like, you need to sing this immediately.
Yeah.
Here is the way.
Yeah.
Well, because I use backing tracks in all of my music, but I have a band with me as well. For this, it's like electronic to the point where it kind of needs to be a vocalist and a DJ.
Okay.
So we were thinking like Ryan could DJ it, sort of, in a way. Yeah, we're just trying to figure out how to do it like the coolest we can. And like, yeah, just like let everybody know that it's like the best song.
That's very exciting. I look forward to hearing that at some point. So that's for sure going to be a release at some point.
Yeah, it will be. Definitely.
In the meantime, between now and you releasing the song, it doesn't have a name yet, I'm going to play one of your songs.
Yeah. Cool.
I'm not going to play Gone yet because I feel like we should save it for later.
All right.
That's the new release. But we're going to play the release from June, July? Earlier on this year.
Yeah, early.
Yeah.
March.
This is Catch Me If You Can. Straight up banger. It's by Gretel.
Oh,
So that was Catch Me If You Can by Gretel.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If people want to listen to that song again and hear more things from you.
Like me.
Where's the best place to follow you or listen to this music?
Well, you can find me at Congratulations on Instagram. Yeah. It's like congratulations, but congratulations. Yeah. Or you can go on Facebook and search up at No Regrettals. I'm so sorry.
No, it's good.
Or like Spotify, I'm just under Gretel. At the moment, I've got like a massive pink handle, but that'll probably change soon because I just released Gone, and that's the new one, not Catch Me If You Can.
It's a great photo, though.
Yeah, I love it. Ryan took it as well. Not only
he's
is
he's a good friend
he,
to have.
He's just like an amazing friend to have, honestly. It's like beneficial in every way.
Your imagery is pretty powerful.
Mm?
Like it seems as though like fashion and like you know bold colors and bold images is something that is something that you're wanting to put out as a part of your branding. Do you think that's true?
Well, my mum's in fashion, so like I've just grown up with fashion all my life, and I just like I find it so important in like. Music
mm-hmm.
to like if you want your music to be out there it kind of goes hand in hand with your style and your look because like I don't know I really love being out there like making people kind of turn around and go what the hell is she wearing you know
I think it's more like what the hell is she wearing
like, yeah it's pretty mixed reviews to be honest some people come up to me and they're like what and I'm like deal with it yeah
because it's even like a part of your band
yeah
thing,
well I made all my boys wear like matching outfits and stuff like that and my guitarist came up to me Louis one day and he was like thank you so much I've gotten fashionable since I've been in your band and I was like you're welcome yes I take full credit yeah, and they're going to have for my next show, which is 30th of November with the Vibes at Anthology, they're going to have a new outfit, and it's going to be very, very nice and white.
Oh, it's going to be white?
It's going to be white. They're all going to be full white, beautiful, luscious, gorgeous boys.
How long is the white going to last for?
I don't know.
Yeah, how long can they keep that? I could not wear all.
I would. I don't know because they might spill like beer all over it during a set or something. I don't know. Or like you know, go for dinner, get like greasy chicken all over it. I don't know. we'll just see, and then I won't get angry with them. I'll just give them one of those disappointed looks.
Yeah.
And that's like stronger than any words. It's like.
So yeah. you are a solo artist. Would you consider yourself to be a solo artist?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because a lot of people have asked me about this actually. Because like once I came off stage and somebody came up to me, and they were like, "What's your band name?" And I was like, "Gretel." And they were like, "Yeah, I know that's your name, but what's your band name?" And I was like. I'm the artist.
Yeah.
My band is my backing band. And I was really confused because I thought that was a really common thing. Like, a solo artist would have a backing band when they're on stage.
Yeah, Harry Parsons is a backing band.
Exactly. And I was, like, very confused about it. But then, yeah.
Yeah, even, like, Marlon Williams or Alice Harding, it's like they do acoustic stuff. Yeah, or Benny. Yeah, they play with Ben. You're totally right.
Mm. So, like, I was very confused, but I decided to keep it that way because, I don't know, I went through RockQuest as just Gretel.
Mm.
I think it sticks because Gretel's an unusual name for New Zealand.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever met another Gretel in New Zealand. And... Also, it's like all my music is just me in the recordings, apart from in Gone, Ryan produced it and played bass in it. But I wrote the bass line.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
and
like,
it's just on you to write the songs, and you can write them however you want, and it doesn't...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, with how I... When I started writing with Ryan, it's not going to just be under Gretel for those songs.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be Gretel and his stage name, which is Sitsa. Yeah, so it's going to be that, not just Gretel, because, like...
Yeah.
Mm,
cool.
Mm, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I think it's logical, and I don't know, I think it's fair enough.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And the co-writing that you're doing with Ryan now, is that something do you think that you would like to do as you go on more, doing collaborations with different artists?
Yeah, oh, I definitely, like, love to do lots of...
Sorry, just moving my mic.
love to do, like, a lot of... collaborations with artists, I reckon, because I think well, that's also really good to get out there with, like, if somebody really likes one artist and then they go with another artist for a song, and then all their fans look at the other artist and they're like, oh, I like this song with my favorite artist.
Totally.
Who's that?
Yep.
And then they listen to theirs also, like the new mix of two different genres, like, how are you going to work with another person? I think it's, like, really exciting.
Yeah. Well, I know, aside from just the music that he's done with you, I only know Ryan from, they're called Chewing Gum.
Chewy Gum, yeah.
Chewy Gum, yeah. And they're, like, quite hard rock music.
Yeah, they're like, hard punk.
So is that more his genre? Is that what we can expect from the music that he's doing with you?
No.
He
is, like, the most... diverse musically person I've ever met. Like, every single song he writes, no two are the same genre.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes he writes songs like Leisure songs, you know?
Yeah.
The band Leisure, and like he wanted us to write a song that, like, was a little bit Benny, and then another song that was, like, really hardcore, like, Medicine Organ Beat, that was, like, really odd, but also, like, awesome, and everybody would just, like, want to listen to it over and over again. But, like, and then he goes to punk, and he's got another band that's, like, more classic rock called Sister Morphine.
Ah, is that him?
Mm, he plays drums in that.
Ah, very, very cool.
Mm.
They're great.
Yeah. Yeah, and then he's got, like, his own music that he hasn't released much of yet, but he's like, him as Sitsa, he just, like, does heaps of songs and produces with other artists.
Yeah,
that's, like, his project.
It's, like, super well rounded.
And he showed me one song he did with this rapper, and it was, like, so cool. Like, it was, like, really chill rap, and I was like, dang, it's like jazz rap, and I was like, ooh, neo soul. Yeah.
So you're at jazz school now.
Yes.
Yeah. How has that changed your songwriting? Has that changed your songwriting?
I feel like it's made me way more, I don't know, like, it definitely has a lot. Like, a lot. But I reckon it's made me want to, like, step outside of the normal, like, pop box, R&B box. Because, like,
okay,
when I was in RockQuest, I was, like, predominantly R&B electronica. Like,
mm-hmm.
That was... I mean, I only, like, really played two songs in RockQuest, and they were both R&B. And then I went to my band, and I had all of these new songs, but there was one that was slower and more neo-soul. And then I had another one that was really crazy when I started... actually, it was before I started jazz school. But it was, like, a really weird song. It was like... I put a random bar of 3-4 in the middle of the verse, and then I changed key 3 times. And at the end of the chorus, I went back to the first key in the verse, but without modulating back. It's just, like, an odd... like, two notes that are completely unrelated. And it sounds kind of weird, but I like it, and I wanted to keep it like that.
Mm.
And then, yeah. And then I've got, like, other songs that are more jazz and that have really weird timings in them, but I try to make them as, like, not too jazz so that people who don't really like jazz or, like, can't really listen to jazz would go, ugh, that's too weird for me. Yeah. I, like, try and make it pop, but with also that weird.
Totally. Like, keeping it accessible, but also...
Yeah.
Like, indulging in the things that you're interested in.
Yeah.
Which is, like, jazz. For you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you're a jazz singer.
Yeah.
Are you... Is that the main component of the jazz that you're bringing in, or is it also in just actually how you're writing it musically as well?
It's also in how I'm writing it. Like, I try and find the crunchiest chords that I can. I love it.
Crunchy is such a good word.
Mm.
Do you have a favourite word?
Just any word?
Yeah.
At all?
I was just thinking, like, I was that a mean... I thought that maybe that was, like, a good question to throw at a poet, but now I feel like it was a
I feel like it's quite stressful. There are a lot of words. I haven't ever been asked what my favourite word is.
Okay, how about this?
You feel free to come back to me on that. Play a song.
Let's play Gretel's New Release.
Please.
And then we can all have a think about our favourite word.
Okay, that sounds
good. Although I actually already know mine. It's flannel.
That's a good word.
Yeah, but I will say this. I don't mean flannel like a shirt. I mean flannel like a face cloth.
Yeah.
You know, and it feels like there's a difference even though it's the same word.
But they're very different materials.
Yeah, they are. I don't know why. It's been my favourite word for a long time.
Okay, I love that.
Yeah.
So this is Gone by Gretel, everybody.
Yes.
On that note. Dude, such a tune. Congratulations on having it finally out.
Yeah. Oh, it's been a time and a half.
Yeah. It's exciting, though. Your second single, like, you're right at the beginning, but obviously, like, pretty well established as well. Like, it's pretty incredible, the first single that you released, Catch Me If You Can, on Spotify. No promo around it. It's been out, what, a couple of months, and it's got 50,000 listens.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome. Such an achievement.
I was, like, weirded out by that. Because I was, like, surely that's, like, not, like, that much. I was, like, maybe I'll get, like, 4,000, and it'll stop it there. Like,
yeah, and you know? 4,000 would have been great. I mean, yeah, lots 4, of local artists, I was, like, 4,000 is amazing. Yeah.
I was scared that it wouldn't break 1,000. Like, I was like...
Yeah, you want to get above that. Yeah, that, above like,
minus 1,000. I was like, I'll be good with, like, just over 1,000 or 1,000.
Stunning cover art.
Yeah.
So it's like, is it a painting?
Yeah, it is a painting. It's an actual painting. I haven't actually seen the real painting.
Yeah.
I need to get him to give it to me.
How did you commission it? How did that happen?
I have a friend called John Ganola, and he's such an amazing artist. I knew him kind of through, like, a friend of a friend, you know? Or, like, yeah, he's a friend of a friend. And I don't know, we just followed each other on Instagram, and he told me he really liked Catch Me If You Can. And I looked at his Instagram, and it was, like, all of this beautiful artwork. And I was like, holy guacamole. And then, I don't know. I did a shoot with him, with my friend Flora. And that was really cool. And we were, like, really good buddies off that. And then I was like, what can I do for Gone? Like, I wanted something cool to be the cover up.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just have something lame. Like, nah. And then I was like, what if he did his style of painting, because, like, he puts in, like, heaps of flowers, and, like, he loves space, like, just the look of, like,
that's cosmos. Exactly what this cover photo is. It's you and flowers and space.
And he said his favorite colors were, like, blue, purple, red, and stuff like that. And I was like, that's exactly, like, that's the colors of Gone, you know? That's that song in a nutshell. And then I was like, yo, can you do like a painting of me, just like kind of in space, with like maybe like a moon above my head, and yeah, can you do that? And he was like, oh my god, yes. And he was like I love it, yes, can I do that, please?
Seems as though, like, a lot of being in this community is actually just using the connections you have, hey? Just like taking advantage of it.
Well, yeah, also just like meeting people on Instagram and then, like, actually taking the time to look at what they do and being like, oh, there's a way for us to work together.
Exactly.
Yeah, sure. I've been working with this amazing artist down in Wellington. I'm actually going to give you guys his handle because he's actually that good. Please. If anybody's needing any poster art done, VisionQuest_art, which is actually quite a boring name. I'm going to tell him to change his name because it seems like quite a boring name for someone who actually does amazing artwork. His name's Will. He's down in Wellington. And he does really, really beautiful stuff. Yeah. And he does, like, yeah. You'll start to recognise his stuff all over the place because all of the local bands are getting him to do the artwork. But this is amazing. The artwork that you have for How We Survive, Olivia, is super cool. So just...
thanks.
Because people can't see it because it's the radio. The cover art for the event page that I can see, it's like someone's drawn a pin that you'd like put on your shirt.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, cool. And it's like got a banner in the one that says How We Survive, and I assume that's you.
That's
and
me
Carrie.
And Carrie.
That is very cool.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah.
It's done by, you know, this is great. We're just promoting all of the people that have done the artwork. It's great. It's done by this awesome poet, actually, who's also an incredible illustrator called Rose Northey, who is a friend of Carrie's.
Great name.
I know, she's a friend of Carrie's. I've now got to meet her. She's rad. And, yeah, she was just, like, taking off doing illustrations. And we were like, oh, we really want, like, an image of us, but also we live on opposite sides of the world. So, like, we're not taking a picture together anytime soon. Mm. So we sent her, like, individual photos of us, like, doing poetry, and then she just put us side by side.
Of you doing poetry?
Yeah, they're
of
both.
Of course they are.
They're images of us both as we sort of
now
perform.
You've said it. Sorry, let me just turn this for you, Greta.
Yeah, so they're sort of like in our performance positions.
I will put a copy of this image when I go and put up the link to the podcast on the Kick Arts page. I will put I'll put both images.
Cool.
Yeah, perfect.
So everyone can check it out.
Perfect.
And by the way, the podcast is available 5 minutes after the show, just in case.
Oh, framing.
Just in case someone's listening, they're about to get out of the car, and they want to listen. Yeah, then you can come back later. Do it.
Nice. But yeah, no, we were really lucky to get Rose, and just while we're on it, we also have self-published a book of the show.
What?
Which is very cool. Got the same
Why
title as the show.
With that?
I don't know. But we sell it at the shows, and she designed the cover of the book as well, which was awesome. So Rose also designed the cover of our book.
So does that? So the book?
Yeah.
Is it? You just said it. Blah 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 blah. You said that it's off the show.
Well, it has all of the poems in the show but one, which we wrote like right at the end. So we'd already published the book, and then I think it has an extra solo poem each that's not in the show. Yeah, there are a couple of extras. But it's in a quite different order to the show because it felt like it needed to be a different order in a book.
Okay.
But yeah, we love it.
Why did it feel as though it needed to be in a different order?
I think because we don't have, like, with a book, it's not, in the show we sort of like introduce you to the show and we are chatting to you and sort of telling you the narrative, whereas obviously you don't get any of that in the book. So we felt like there was a different order needed for you to understand. So we actually, the poem that is our last poem in the show is the first poem in the book. Because it felt like it sort of introduced a lot of the ideas of the show that it needed to come first in the book, yeah.
This just sounds as though it's been such an incredible adventure, a massive project for you both. Yeah. So
yeah,
is this is the last stop on this tour?
Yeah.
Is that the end of the project? What happens next?
No, Carrie and I are like obsessed with touring with each other, so I think about 3 weeks ago we were like getting really upset about the idea that this tour was going to end and that we've been working on it for like 9 months and that like it means so much to us, even though we both have lots of other things going on and we live on opposite sides of the world and it's really hard to manage. And then I was like, oh, you know, I'll probably come back sometime next year. What if we did shows in Australia? Gary like jumped at me, was like, yes, obviously. So we're hoping we'll take it international next year.
That is very cool. How do you go about that, especially when you're promoting something that is a little not like unheard of, but something a little bit unusual and a bit special? How do you
It will definitely be a new thing for us to do it in a space where we don't have sort of any bases, although we've been to places in New Zealand where neither of us know anyone and Carrie's so experienced at touring. I think there are a few things there are so many cool spoken word venues and spoken word events and spoken word scenes and like societies and stuff everywhere. And so one of the first things we do is try to link into them and their base, because obviously there's an interest in that sort of work. And then, I mean, for this tour we have sent out like hundreds of press releases, and we really try to target anywhere that we think is going to be interested in feminist work in particular. So we sort of, it's a combo of finding like arts people that we think will enjoy it, and then like women's organizations, gender organizations that we think will enjoy it. And just a lot of spreading the word, a lot of teaching ourselves how to use social media.
It's knack to it, eh? But once you get it, quite fun.
I don't know if we're in the fun stage yet. But we'll get there.
I think I've only just recently hit the fun stage after it being like my job for like the past year and a half, teaching myself how to do it. And all of a sudden I'm like, I can do this, I can figure it out. And like, how to read insights and stuff. Before that I was just like, I don't know what's happening. It's hard. So how did you get into poetry? When did this begin for you?
Well, I like went through the classic like high school phase of writing really terrible poetry that I assume everyone goes through.
I'm still in that phase.
Yeah, great. Basically, so am I. And I did that when I was like a young teenager. And then I also think I went through what is quite a classic stage of being about 17 and being like, oh, this is not cool. Like, I definitely need to stop doing this, and like really censoring myself and being really shy in a way that I'd never been before, being like, this is ridiculous, and sort of like putting it aside.
Had you been sharing your poetry?
I hadn't been sharing it. I had just been writing it, but had like had been in like writing classes and had entered poetry competitions and stuff while I was at high school. So I was putting it out there, but I wasn't performing it.
Okay.
And I didn't really know performance poetry was a thing. And then when I was about 19, I found spoken word poetry online. And I think that's how lots of people find it, is on YouTube, because it's so big in the States, and there are these huge YouTube channels like Button Poetry who just get like hundreds of thousands of views. And I just like totally fell in love with it because I was a full-blown like drama kid at school, but had never thought about combining my own writing with performing. So I spent like months and months watching it on YouTube being like, could I ever do this? And then discovered that there actually was a spoken word night in Wellington, which is where I was living at the time, called Poetry in Motion, which is like very close to my heart because it feels like my like home venue now. And I just was like, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to tell anyone that I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. And so spoken word poetry has its competitive form in slam poetry, which is where like 12 poets compete and 5 audience members are the judges, and they hold up scores for your poems directly after you do them, like in the audience.
Are the poems performed differently as well?
What do you mean?
Like the, in the way that the poems are actually presented, is it different or is it quite similar?
Like between different people?
In terms of like performance poetry and slam poetry.
I don't know. I mean, you think more, even more about the audience if you're in a slam because you're being put in a competitive environment. So it's far more like a game than when I share my work. Carrie and I definitely talk about having like slam pieces and less slammy pieces, because slam pieces are always 3 minutes basically in New Zealand. Like they are hard hitting. You wanted to connect with that audience. You might not explore something that's really niche or a little bit more gentle in the way that I think we do in parts of the show, because you don't get to talk to the audience. You're just doing this 3-minute poem and then they're going to hold up a score. So that's what you're focused on. But yeah, so I was like, if I'm going to do this, I should just do it. So the first time I went to Poetry in Motion, I just like entered a slam and that was it. Like the adrenaline of it just absolutely sold it to me.
That's pretty brave for first experience.
I mean, I didn't tell anyone I was going, so I think performing to a room full of strangers is a lot easier than performing to a room full of people you know.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it went well, obviously. What was it like? What was the poem you did?
It was awesome. I did a poem that I've like virtually never performed since. I did a poem that I had written about the long distance relationship that I was, the relationship I'm still in that at that time was a long distance relationship. That was my first piece. And then my second piece was a piece about body image that was like written as a letter to my 15-year-old self. Yeah. And it was rad. And I think I came second. And yeah, I just was sold. Like it was such a loving community. And that Poetry in Motion has grown so much bigger now than it was then. But yeah, I was done.
So what happened on your journey after that? I love this story.
Thanks. So that was it. Like I started going to PIM every month in Wellington. I competed in slams because I came second in that one. I think I got to compete in regionals that year and that was fun and I was getting more exposed to that. But then I moved to Dunedin and Dunedin did not really have a spoken word scene when I moved. And that was really hard because I felt like I'd just found it and then it was gone. But I kept writing and I got involved and yeah, and eventually I moved back to Wellington and got involved there and got to go to nationals, which was so cool, and just like fell in love with other poets and met Carrie and all of that. And we did the first version of the show, which I was sort of doing alongside competing in slams. And then I moved overseas a little over 2 years ago to New York. And yeah, like spoken word's been so cool for living in New York and London. It's such an awesome way to connect with a new community and to find people, which can be really hard when you move countries for no very clear reason.
Yeah. So is that something you do quite immediately when you're in a new location is to the, like locate that
100% community? If I travel somewhere for like a week, I'm like, is there a spoken word night on that I can go to? Because it's so cool. The spoken word poetry is different in different places. I want to like take all of that in and see what the scene is like, but also it's for me been a really good way to meet people and just have a love of words. Like I love listening to other poets.
That's very cool. So beyond this massive project that you've been doing, you know, writing How We Survive and touring it two times now, and the book and just the whole thing.
Yes.
How does poetry fit into your life beyond that? Does it? Is there room for it beyond that? Because that must be quite consuming.
Yeah, there hasn't been in the last year, but that's because I moved to London to do my master's, so I've been studying and also writing this show and also working part-time. So that was really it. Study seems really detached from poetry in a lot of ways, I think, to people, because academic writing and creative writing don't seem to link, but my master's is in gender, so for me, they are really linked. Mm-hmm. And it was really awesome to, like, take things that I was thinking about academically and think about them in a creative space for the show and for writing. So those were actually very linked to me. And now, like, my master's is done. I'm not totally sure what I'm going to do job-wise. And I'm, like, feeling so empowered having done the show that I'm, like, I'm going back to London and just, like, I'm going to throw myself into every bit of poetry I can find. So I'm excited for, yeah, what's going to come next and discovering the London scene more.
In the way that there are opportunities for musicians to make a career or support themselves through their art, are there opportunities to do that within the poetry world as well?
Yeah, and Carrie's a really good example of someone who's doing that. Carrie's a full-time poet. She teaches at the Manukau Institute of Technology. She teaches the only tertiary-level spoken word class in the country. But she also teaches a bunch of other, like, creative writing classes and things. Her partner is also a poet, also works full-time as a poet. Wow. They both tour a lot. They both teach a lot. Like, if there was ever any doubt that you could make money off poetry, it's like, well, you just have to be as talented as Carrie Woodson's getting Ken Arkind. But, yeah, you can totally do it. And they both moved from America and came here and have made their whole lives out of poetry. So it can totally be done.
That is cool.
Yeah.
That is cool. Because I guess people do buy poetry, don't they?
Yeah, well, I feel like it's having in the last few years in New Zealand, I feel like it's had a real surge. We have so many cool, particularly female poets who have really changed the scene in the same way that I think, like, young female artists have in New Zealand.
Yeah, and it seems as though I don't know whether this rings true for you or not, but it seems as though for somebody like me who isn't particularly involved in the local poetry scene, that things tend to be popping up more and more, and it seems to be being more accessible. Like, I've gone to a couple of the nights at the Thirsty Dog, and I love it. And it's not the kind of thing that I would have gone and to seek out, but I've just kind of found myself there and really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Again, I give, like, heaps of credit to Carrie and Ken for how much the scene has, like, grown and been boosted in Auckland, as well as, like, a huge number of awesome Auckland-based poets, because they run Jaffa Slam, which is the Auckland competitive slam that happens four times a year. They had their regional final last week, so there is this big national slam competition that happens every November, and so more and more cities are developing sort of competitions to pick people to go to that, and that's really awesome and has grown a lot as well.
Very cool. I think that we should have a little song break because we've just hit 9 o'clock already.
Oh, nice.
What are you guys jamming? Has anyone got a jam that they would?
Holy, oh my god!
That's definitely on you.
And this is
100%.
Also, after I asked you that really hard question, but did you think of your favorite
discombobulated?
That's my nana's favorite word.
Yeah, how could it not? I'm pretty sure that's, like, the most classic answer to this. So I might be cheating, but it is a really good word.
Nah, you're really cool. My nana's really cool.
Yes,
you're great at picking favorite. Did you pick a favorite word?
Griddle, you have to pick a song though. If you don't have a favorite word,
I'll do the song one.
Okay.
Should it be New Zealand or
just whatever you're jamming?
Oh gosh. How about, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm really excited to hear what you're gonna say.
Oh, now you've put me on the okay.
Yeah, that's too much pressure.
Okay, I've got two in my head.
Yeah.
So either On My Shoulders by Sabrina Claudio.
Okay.
Or any Milieu song ever.
Okay. Sorry, I've can't type apparently.
It's coming.
Cool. Here we go. On My Shoulders by Sabrina Claudio. Hmm.
Yes.
It's happening right now. studio. Those are some great suggestions from Gretel.
Thank you.
You could send us suggestions maybe in the future for the show, because those are rather nice.
Dude, I will.
That was Milieu with Enough, and the song before that was Sabrina Claudio with On My Shoulders. Mm-hmm. And they're really good. Thank you very much, Gretel. Also, what people couldn't hear because we were off the air was that Gretel was singing along to the songs, and it sounded really nice because she can sing.
True.
Can you sing?
No.
No, you haven't either.
It's Gretel, very upsetting.
Gretel was talking about how she sings in the car. I'm like, sometimes I sing in the car and I have to turn the stereo up really, really loud.
That happened to me on the way here.
Myself.
Yeah, on the way here.
Because I can't sing in tune.
Dude, but it's so nice and freeing to sing in the car. I don't drive anywhere in London. Like, I'm just driving around Auckland, like, belting out things, and it is so unpleasant for everyone else. It's
it was
so great
for funny,
me.
Like, driving past, like, people driving past and seeing you just, like,
I'm going for
out.
It.
Sometimes I, like, stop singing when I'm, like, at a light. Because I'm,
I
like...
I do not.
Yeah, well, sometimes if
you should
if I'm,
not,
like,
because you can sing.
On, yeah, sometimes if I'm full-on jamming, I won't stop, but it's, like... The thought of somebody, like, looking over and me just, like, fully going for it. Like, not being able to hear me, but, like, being able to see me just going for it. And just, like...
That's me every day.
Yeah.
my new one that I'm in, just... Oh, my gosh, we should definitely end the show on this song. The one that I've been jamming a lot, because everybody that is listening is really interested, is Alanis Morissette, You Oughta Know.
What? Oh my god,
that song is hard to sing.
Yes, it is. But it's a good car belter.
I love it.
That's a classic one to belt out in the car.
Yeah, I just do it like over and over again. Yeah, that's really good. When did you first start singing, Gretel?
I started singing like before I could talk. Not like properly until I was like 5, but my mum like always tells me like the first song I ever sang was Hallelujah, because like I loved the Shrek movie, but I couldn't.
That's
talk.
Amazing.
I couldn't talk. I was like, what, one? What? Maybe. Yeah. And then I'd just walk around the house going, Are you?
That is so cool.
That's incredible. I'm really glad your mum has the memory of that.
Yeah. But like only like. I don't know, because the first movie I ever fell in love with was The Phantom of the Opera. My grandparents came over from New Zealand. I lived in Australia once when I was 5 years old and showed me that, and I was terrified, but I loved it.
Amazing
and I, like,
music, yeah.
And I tried to learn all of it. I watched it every day, and I, like, learned all the songs. And I remember... In that same year, I was 5 years old, there was a talent show at school, and I sung Think of Me from,
Which one's that one?
Think of me fondly.
They're like,
I just
don't
know to sing it, I know.
Yeah. And, like, it wasn't like a talent quest, it was just a talent show, nobody won. But, like, dang, I was 5 years old.
That's amazing. Do you remember?
I remember, like, coming off stage and all of the year 5 kids telling me I was really cute. And I remember, like, being, like, oh, yeah, hell yeah, that's right. But, like, I don't remember actually being on stage. I remember I was not nervous at all, and I don't know.
I was just going to say, how nervous do you get now?
I don't really get nervous when I go on stage anymore. I didn't get nervous when I was, like, before 10. But then when I got, like, into intermediate in high school, I did start to get nervous just because, like...
It's that age and stage thing,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. Yeah. But then when I got to...
You're out of it again.
Yeah. When I got to RockQuest, that kind of calmed me down. And now that I'm in uni, I have to perform all the time. And I do perform all the time anyway. So I'm like... It's just like it's kind of what I do. Yeah.
So what happened after like that like being 5 years old, singing on a stage. What happened after that? Did you just keep singing? Did you keep performing in front of people?
Well, yeah, because my brother was a part of a theatre company, like a junior theatre company. He was 5 years older than me. And my mum was costume lady for it. And so I had to be there, like, all the time. Because, like, nobody else is at the house. And my mum wasn't about to get me a babysitter. So I was just there. And I wanted so badly to be in it. But it was, like, 10 to 18. Like, ages 10 to 18. And then I was like, dang. But I just sat in on all of the rehearsals. I knew the choreography and the songs and all of the lines of everybody on stage better than everybody else, because I just loved it. And then, like, not too long before the opening night, I think it was like maybe 3 or 2 weeks before opening night, the director came up to me and she's like, hey Gretel, do you want to be in it? And I was like, yes, oh my god,
I'm ready.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I was like, yeah. It was like how the West was warped. I was a little American Indian, American Native American girl, like 5 years old.
And do they do plays like that still?
I don't think they do anymore. But okay, it was cool. Like it was, yeah. It was 2005, and I was like, it was Australia. Australia is like kind of like that. Yeah, yeah, it is. But, yeah.
And what happened after that?
I continued being in those shows until I was 10 years old. It's funny how, like, everybody else, like, the rules didn't change after I got into the shows. It was still 10 to 18. But I was, like, the one that was, like, wildly younger than the rest. And everybody was, like, there would be, like, somebody who was, like, in it. I remember he had, like, a younger sister who was, like, maybe 1 year older than me. And she came in, and she, like, turned to her mum, and she's like, how come Gretel can be in the show, but not me? And I was just there like, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. You know? You know when you're like, yeah. I just loved it.
So, currently you are living it up, working at Farmers. Which farm are you working at again, so people can come visit you?
St. Luke's. Yeah, yeah, please. Nice. Do, actually.
Yeah, cool. I should do that one day.
Yeah,
do you, can you, have you got a sweet discount?
Yeah. I mean, I can get in trouble, but you know what? I'll do that for my
fans. For the fans, for the Kikats fans. So, okay.
Yeah. Actually, and one of your friends came in the other day, and they were like, oh, I do, to their other friend, they were like, do you know we're in the presence of of Gretel? And I was like, what the hell?
I heard was that, because I did hear about this, I heard that they said to their friend, do you know that you are in the presence of an amazing musician? And because you're so nice and humble, you went, oh, really? Like, yeah. Thinking that they weren't talking about you, they were talking about
yeah,
them?
I did do that. And they were like, no, I mean you, Gretel. And I was like, okay. Yeah.
So you're pretty much famous now.
Yeah.
So you're living up, working at Farmers, studying at jazz school, playing around the place, releasing brilliant music. What's next for you? Become a manager.
Yeah, honestly.
Sorry, it's getting late. I'm getting silly. What's next in your musical journey?
Well, I've got a couple of gigs coming up. And I haven't told you about this one because it, like, there's nothing for it yet. But I got on December the 6th, I'm opening for a band called Half Moon Baby.
Great band.
Yeah, great band. At Galatos.
At Galatos?
Main room.
Nice.
I've never played there before. It's a bit bigger than most of the places that I've played at, so I'm a bit excited.
It's a big room.
Honestly. Yeah, it's quite a big room.
I will be there.
Thank you so much.
Because you're great, and Half Moon Baby are great.
Oh, yeah.
That's exciting.
Half Moon Baby is great.
And where should people go to find the links to your things?
Well, you can go to my Instagram, to get the link to my Spotify, or you could go straight to my Spotify and just like stream that, or you can
we'll
go
do
to
both.
Yeah,
because then you can see your gigs coming up. So you've got a gig coming up on the 30th with the Vibes.
With the Vibes.
At Anthology.
Yes. And then after that, it's the one at Galatas on December 6th. And then after that, I've got this one that used to be called Devonstock, but it's not called Devonstock anymore. It's going to be called something else, maybe. And that's on December 13th.
Cool. Mystery gig.
Mystery gig. Somewhere in Devonport at night.
So, Devonport at night.
Just wander around.
Yeah, yeah.
Just wander around.
Well, I mean,
you'll find
I think
it.
It's in the main park, like park in Devonport, like the waterfront type place.
But no, it was more exciting when it was just anywhere.
Yeah. All oh, of I'm Devonport. So sorry. I'll make it more mysterious.
No, but it's presumably like, if people follow your socials, there will be details for that
oh,
at some
definitely.
Point.
Oh, definitely. There'll be details
congratulations.
Congratulations.
That's really good.
That's
it's
mine.
About, as it said, congratulations.
Yeah.
Gretel. And what's your Spotify?
No
Gretel. Gretels.
No, Spotify is just Gretel.
Oh, sorry, I meant Facebook.
Facebook
I got my,
is no
I got Gretels. My, I got my words. My yeah. words wrong. Cool.
Mm.
Very exciting.
Very exciting.
And... when you're going to release more music at some point too?
Probably early next year.
Oh, and we could hear the organ tune.
Yeah.
Are you going to change its name or keep it that name?
Probably change it, just because it's got nothing to do with that. We've already got...
Medicine organ sound.
Medicine organ beat.
Organ beat.
But we've got another song that Ryan just named it weirdly again. I'm not going to tell you what the name is for that because we're keeping the name that. Like, it's a really weird name that he just like randomly put in.
Okay.
Mm, the name's a surprise because, like, we haven't even performed it yet. We haven't even properly finished
Ooh.
It.
Will you likely perform these songs at your sets coming up, though?
Yes. Yes, they will. Maybe not Medicine, but maybe the other one. Most definitely the other one, actually. Yeah, because it's a bop and we like it. We'll like playing it.
Very excited.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm very excited to, like, have you back on the show at some point in the near future on this next step of your journey. Because I just think you're amazing, and I think that one day you're going to be very famous, and then I'm going to say to people,
she came to my radio show.
In the days when she used to work at Farmers.
I'll still probably be working at Farmers.
Look, if I worked at Farmers, I would never stop.
Dude, it's actually, like, kind of nice there. Like, I get discounts on makeup because I work in the beauty department. I never had a beauty routine. Like, I never had a nighttime routine until I worked there. And honestly, my skin feels so nice and silky smooth. It's nice.
I remember when I was your age, I had a job working in a medical centre.
Mm.
And man, I always had Panadol.
Yeah,
dude.
It was awesome. And I always had toothpaste. I mean, I always have toothpaste anyway. It's not like I don't brush my teeth. But we always got
good
toothpaste
extra.
Samples. It was good.
Oh, dude.
It was good.
Nice.
And sometimes you got, like, random other stuff that they were testing as well. Like, when Maxi G's that came out, got that.
Dude.
Got that before anyone.
Honestly, like, they give me, like, if, like, a product's discontinued, they give me, like, expensive brand testers.
Dreamy.
Like, and it's like, wow. Because they're expensive brands, they'll have, like people on them. So the testers aren't nasty. They're, like, completely sanitary. And they'll be, like, half full. And it's like, oh, my God, that'll last me, like, a month. Dude, I don't even have to pay for
it. I'm feeling like maybe Gretel's going to stop playing music.
And just work at Farmers
and get free makeup, to be honest.
That sounds
you
fair
sound
enough.
At least as passionate about that.
I don't even wear that much makeup, but I'm starting to wear more just because I work there. Yeah, honestly.
Cool.
Yeah.
Olivia, can you please give us the details for people who are wanting to come and see your poetry show this week at the Basement?
Everyone, please.
I just gave you the details.
It's at Basement Theatre in the studio. It is on from Tuesday night to Saturday night at 6:30 p.m. What else do I need to say? You can find us online by searching How We Survive Poetry Show. We're HWS Poetry on Facebook.
What if people can't come to the show but they want to buy the book?
Well, then you should message us on Facebook, because at the moment we're sending books to people that we meet who need them or want them. But we're hoping that we'll set them up to sell them online after we've finished the tour, once we like have the breathing room to do that. So they'll be available on Carrie's website.
Cool.
Just search Carrie Rudzinski. It's an original name. There are not a lot of them. The first one you find will be my Carrie.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fantastic. And very excited to see the show. Very excited to have you back also.
Thanks.
Do your next step.
Next step in our tour. Thank you.
Yes, it's very exciting. Thanks. We have come to the end of the show. If anybody is listening and they want to come in and come on the show and talk about something that they're doing in the arts community, just send us a message on our Facebook page, that is Kick Arts, or send us an email at kickarts1@gmail.com, and our incredible producer Marianne will be back to you. We would love to have you on. We don't do any gig listings because we actually just want to come and you to come in and have a chat. The podcast for today will be available 5 minutes after the show. It will be one of the collection of the podcasts that we have made over the past, I think it's about 6 years now. There's many, many. You can dive deep. And, of course, we'll be back next week with another one. Some very exciting guests on next week who I'm not going to tell you who they are because I'm pretty sure it's next week, but it might not actually be next week, so I don't want to lie. Yeah. I'm going to take us out with a song of a very, very strong, inspiring, incredible woman, just to kind of keep the theme going. Yes. From today. It was announced this week that she will be coming to New Zealand pretty soon. Her name is Patti Smith. She's badass. And yeah, we'll see you next week. Remember to go out there this week and kick some ass.
The fire I breathe, love is a banquet on which we feed.
Because the night belongs to lovers. Do you